Hi, hello, and welcome to today's podcast on securing your server in the cloud. Right from the day when concepts of cloud started gaining prominence, the questions around security had been closely following it. Or is this fear about security overhyped, or is it completely irrational? If we need to really comment about it, we have to put ourselves in the shoes of a business owner. So, in a cloud, in a layman's term, if I have to think about it, we are going to put the data, which is the most valuable asset of an organization, in a shared services model. So, what does it really mean is your data and your competitors' data possibly can reside side by side. So, is there a way where a competition can gain access to my systems, because now my systems are no longer in my premises, but it is on a shared services model, which technically we can call it as a cloud? Or if there is a way a smart hacker can go ahead and compromise all my machines which are there in the cloud? Or what if the vendor who is hosting my data center is not taking adequate steps and measures to protect my data? So these are all very genuine concerns, because end of the day, if any of this fear becomes a reality, the biggest impact is to the business owner and his execution. Getting back the goodwill is not that easy. So these fears are not totally unfounded, but they are deeply rooted on the past experience of hacking and other things. Even today as we speak, the concept of ransomware, wherein some of the hackers gain access to your system, they protect your file, and they demand digital currency so that they can unlock your system. You'll be surprised to hear that the number of ransomware in the last 5 years has exponentially increased. So fundamentally, the concept around security is very, very important. And especially when you talk about cloud, and you have your very sensitive data, not only from your business standpoint, but also from your regulatory standpoint. Say a PHI data, when it comes to healthcare domain, is very sensitive. And if it gets leaked, you're not only impacting your own business, but also the health information of a community is getting exposed. And there will be a lot of legal impacts surrounding that. So the concerns and the fears are genuine, and we need to address them rather than totally rubbing them off. So in this podcast, what we are going to do is we are going to take the very foundational element of a compute, which technically I can call it as a machine or a server or a EC2, any term which you want to put in, configured in a cloud. And we are going to see some of the best practices which you can follow in ensuring your server is secure. And this practices has to be integrated as part of your work style. What I mean by that is, it is not like a one time you just assess it and say everything is fine and leave it forever. But every once in a while, the periodic check might be the frequency, might be quarterly, monthly, weekly, depending upon your application and your organizational deployment styles, as well as the security measures you are taking. You might need to reassess it periodically to ensure that you stay on top of your security measures. So that is exactly what we are going to see in today's podcast. So without much delay, let's get into it. When it comes to the security, there are two broader divisions we look at: security of the cloud and security in the cloud. So security of the cloud is the responsibility of the cloud service provider. What I mean by that is, if you are in an AWS cloud, Amazon is responsible for maintaining its data center, the physical access, and all those things which are required to ensure that the data center is rightly protected. We have no say on it, but we are being guaranteed that the best of the best measures have been taken. And this guarantee doesn't just come in thin air, but it is being certified with the highest possible security certification are available on the planet. It is being audited, and the audit reports are available in the public domain for anyone to see, so that they can be rightly convinced that they are in the safe hands. Whether it is Amazon or Azure or GCP, they diligently follow all these steps and ensure that there is no breach in terms of the security. When it comes to security in the cloud, the application owner has a major say in it, because now you are going to configure a machine in the cloud, install your application, and all its data resides in the cloud. Now you are responsible in ensuring the right people has access to it, and you are not leaving something open for the internet to go ahead and access your system without any type of checks and balances. So security in the cloud is a major responsibility of the application owner. So let's go over some of the points. The very first and simple thing is, so when you install a server and you bring in and you install your OS, the operating system, you are responsible for patching it. Because in this scenario, you have just used cloud as an infrastructure as a service. They are just providing you the RAM, the CPU, and all those bare metal needed to get your machine up and running. But the OS and other things you are going to configure. So if there is a security patch which is coming up, or which has been distributed by the team, say you have a Windows operating system and Microsoft has given a OS patch, it becomes your responsibility to go ahead and diligently apply the patch. And similarly, once you have your operating system up and ready, if you are going to install your software, you have to ensure you don't allow some third-party tools to just come and sit on your server. There are third-party tools which are available as a free downloads, which promises a lot of things, but also acts as a Trojan horse, wherein it brings in a worm or other malicious softwares which will gain access to your system and start sharing your credentials and data to an external hacker. So if you are going to install any third-party utility softwares, you need to be utmost careful and be very clear that it is from a trusted source. So those are two simple things which you can rightly do: applying your patches and ensuring you don't have any untrusted or open source software sitting in your system, which probably you just did thinking that it might help you from your productivity standpoint. Similarly, if you are using AWS EC2s, by default, it comes with a security group. And many of us, we get so comfortable with those security group that we allow it to be there. What really goes on behind the hood is, say tomorrow if you are going to configure another system, even that will share the same security group because it is the default one. And by nature, if one of your machine is compromised, it will be easy for that worm or that malicious software to propagate throughout the network through that security group, because when one or more machines share the same security group, fundamentally it means they can talk to each other through all the ports freely. That's what essentially it means. So come out of your default security group and create your own security group and put down those protocols which are absolutely essential for your machine. By doing this, you know what protocols you need this machine to adhere to, and by default, when a machine is getting created in your network, it is not going to go ahead and start using this security group, because by default it will go to the default security group. And this is one common mistake which we normally do, that allowing our EC2 servers to have the common security group or the default security group. And similarly, within AWS, if you want to communicate with some of your AWS resources, such as DynamoDB, S3, you can make use of your private links. By doing this, your data doesn't go through the internet but stays within the AWS network, thereby increasing its safety. So whenever you are going to consume other AWS resources, first try to see whether you can make use of the private links. As of this recording, there are 50 plus resources are onboarded into the private link. So that means that if you are consuming any one of these resources, you can make use of the endpoints within AWS rather than directing the connection through the internet. The other major loophole which what we have come across in our experience is SSH. And normally when we do SSH, since most of the time we don't know from which SIDR range the machine needs to be remote logged into, we leave that option open, saying that open to internet. Though it is convenient at that point in time to test and to proceed, it leaves a major security gap there. So try to avoid SSH as much as possible. If you have to do it, be very specific about which machines can SSH into it. And there is another convenient option called System Manager, which probably will help you to replace your need to do SSH totally. This is much better and secure way of connecting to your machines. And you have to also make a decision whether your machine really, really has to be on a public subnet. So you have isolated a machine through your VPC, you have put it on a subnet. Even if your machine is a public facing one, can you put it on a private subnet and connect it to a load balancer which can exist on a public subnet? So try to isolate your machine as much as possible into a private subnet so that it is becoming harder and harder for anyone to gain access to it. So fundamentally what you are doing here is you are restricting the exposure of your server to the internet. And the way you do that is bringing in a load balancer in the public subnet, right? And make use of your tools like firewall. The firewall one of the major component or the major feature of this firewall is it has the ability to detect your SQL injection, a very common form of threat where a hacker sends a SQL query in the form of your HTTP request. Your security group and your NACL, network access control layer, they don't have the ability to detect and prevent a SQL injection, whereas your firewall has it. So make use of the firewall and see to it that you are enabling the features which will identify and prevent any SQL injection getting into your server. And AWS Shield, that is one of a great tool which is available. It comes in two varieties, basic and advanced. Basically, it is for you to protect your machine from DDoS, distributed denial of service, where through some automated bots, they put in so much of requests that they hog your channel. So by enabling AWS Shield, what really happens is when it detects something as an anomaly, it throttles the request from the source, protecting you and your execution from a brute force attack. And the advanced version of this AWS Shield helps you from any specific attacks to your application. The general version protects from a common DDoS attacks. Specific or the advanced version protects you from any targeted attacks. The other tool which I have come across in my experience is AWS Inspector. When you use this fully automated service, it gives you a report prioritized by your vulnerabilities, saying that, hey, so many ports are open and this particular protocol doesn't look to be the right one, given that it has open access. So it gives you an actionable insight from a security standpoint and helps you to take the right action. And again, as I said, these are all not one time. So if you are using AWS Inspector, it's not like once you use it, get the report, clean it off, and then you say you're done. Probably you need to repeat this on a periodic basis to ensure that you are staying on top of the security. So by bringing in all these features, will you have a complete control on the security? I will hesitate to say the answer is yes, because by doing all this right, still if you are not controlling your IAM, Identity Access Management, that means that you have built a beautiful castle and left it open for anyone to walk in and to take off things. IAM is where you need to be utmost careful, wherein you allow access to the right people with the right credentials to the right level of usage. So the law of least privilege. If I don't need a right access, don't give it to me. If I don't need a even read access, then I shouldn't be even authorized to access the system. So ensure you are having the right users getting configured to access your system at the right level, not one step above or one step below. So a combination of all this will give you a comfort that your applications and your data is safe, is in safe hands as far as the EC2 is concerned. So if I have to quickly summarize, have your patches and OS properly patched up, don't have any third-party utility softwares downloaded from internet and leave it there, and ensure you don't follow your default security group, and wherever possible, make use of AWS private links. Do you really need SSH? Think about it. If you need, don't leave it as open to internet, but give a very specific CIDR range. And if possible, use a better option called as SSM, the system manager. And isolate your server through your VPCs and subnet. And even within subnet, put it in your private subnet. And if it has to access your external world, do it through a load balancer. Make use of the toolkits like Firewall, Shield, and Inspector in the right way to gain insights, actionable insights about your security. So these are all some of the fundamentals, nothing great about it, but the summation of all this, the collection of all these measures will help you to give you some peace of mind about your applications and data. Please feel free to share your feedback. I will leave my email ID in the description section of this podcast. If there are any other lessons or best practices which you feel must be included along with this, you are most welcome to share your thoughts or even be part of this podcast. So I hope with following all this, you will have a better secured EC2s. See you again in my next podcast. Thank you.